Boy, anybody else. But here we are. But you know what?
With this list, something to Whatever Face podcast.
Oh, but you at least got to get the name right.
Is that not it?
Whatever Face. Is that what it's called?
No, that's what they said it was called. Okay, Whatever Face podcast.
Good evening, folks. I have some family members with me. I have Dennis Antetokounmpo Face, and I have Drew Holiday Face. My main guys, Patrick B. Schaefer and Victor George the Smith, respectively, from Black Running Back and Hello Beautiful People podcast. Gentlemen, how are you? How you doing? Patrick, it's good to see you. Can I just say that?
Yeah, man. It's good to see you. Yeah, it's good to see you all too.
My God.
Good to be seen.
Yes, man. If you know, if I don't see you, that means that spirit. The spirit is saying
hovering,
boy.
We're working overtime this year.
I'm seeing them obituaries. I was like 79. I was like, Jesus, that's can't be God.
Fellas,
they're dropping like flies, ain't they?
Man. People die ain't never died before.
For real. First time.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I brought you gentlemen up here because I wanted to have a heartfelt barbershop conversation, and I'm a little hurt. Hopefully he can join, but I kind of wanted Darvin Ham Face and the good Bishop to join us for this barbershop conversation, but it's all right. It happens. I wanted to ask you guys, have you ever been in a day where it was like everything that could go wrong? Everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Like they get your order wrong at your coffee spot. You automatically need gas or brakes or your tire got a hole in it. Just at every turn. I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, how do you get through the days where it seems like I should just stay in the bed? Patrick, how do you handle those days, man?
You know, it depends. You know, this is a true story. I remember when Prince passed away. Mm. I was at the barbershop, and friend texted me, got in the car after I was done, and listened to the radio on the way home, and of course news reports are coming in. I went home and I'm like, you know what, let me go to sleep, because maybe I'm in some type of universe where I woke up in some type of 6618 or something like that. Let me go back to sleep and try to do this again. And I think commonly, you know, when we're depressed or anxious, sometimes sleep, you know, escaping in the sleep is the best way. Sometimes, you know, you push through it. You know, my tendencies is to kind of isolate, which is, you know, not healthy. And so making myself get out the house and go for a walk and get some sun on my face or something like that.
Is that a Prince hoodie?
It is, actually. Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. This is from the estate, you know. They do joints now. So real nice hoodies.
I liked it. George, how do you handle your days where it seems like you woke up on the wrong side?
I got to find me a nice spiritual song to get myself back together.
I don't most know if you're serious that you're playing.
Most of the times, that's when you have to, this is a true story. I had to listen to Jerry Jones pre-draft conference today. The only damn GM in the NFL that has a pre-draft conference, and he got to tell me that we going all in. We ain't did jack. Ain't paid nobody. He said, I'm an option quarterback. And that's only days after Jamal Murray all of a sudden turned into Jamal Crawford, Allen Iverson, and Kobe Bryant with that step
don't
back
do that. Don't do that. He been doing that the last 3 years. What are you talking about?
So after dealing with all of that, I gotta go to YouTube and find me a song of worship or something. That's the only way I can get right, because this stuff be driving me crazy. Charmaine was like, you doing a sports show? I was like, did you hear that voice note? I was talking to the guys. I was like, did you hear that voice note that I left for them? He was like, you was yelling. I was like, yeah. I'm not trying to do that for no 90 minutes. I need to calm down a bit. So yeah, I tend to lose myself in some music. And it doesn't have to be spiritual songs either. Like, y'all know my affinity for Brandy. I found out Brandy was getting her star on the Walk of Fame, and I just went to her, went to my iTunes, clicked on her name and press shuffle. And that's how I handled all my errands the other day. And I was like, this is all right. And then Charmaine turned to me and was like, is Brandy dying? And I was like, no, baby. She's not dying. She got a star on the Walk of Fame. She was like, she paid for it, didn't she? I was like, everybody paid for it, baby. Don't make it sound like Ray J brokered a deal with somebody. Somebody got some Raycons out of it or something like that. So yeah, but it's music, man. Music is my remedy for a lot.
I'm glad you mentioned the Jamal Crawford thing, because that question was a setup to ask you both. How do y'all think the Lakers feel today? Waking up, AD was mad. AD was mad. AD looked like if he could have shot everybody in that press conference room, he would have. But he was mad. Patrick, you brought up a point and said that Murray's been doing this for 3 years.
Yeah.
As somebody who's watching the game right now, two things. I love a good trash talk, especially when my lovely friends like to trash talk me. But there are times where even I am stunned because it's like, wait, did that just happen? But to your point, Murray's been doing this for a couple years. Do you think, and I'm not going to try to do too much sports here, but like I said, I did want this to be barbershop-ish, but do you think Jamal Murray, do you think it's just that dog in him? Because he didn't have a great night shooting. But they tell you shoot or shoot.
No, Jamal Murray know what he doing. And he was, for three quarters, he was thinking up the joint. He a fourth quarter player. He knows how to close games. He's been closing games. Like, I don't understand, like, why was everybody shocked? Number one, Lakers ain't beat this team, what, in the last 15 years? Number one. Number two, like, they are horribly overmatched. Like, I understand being, and I blame LeBron for this. I do.
Here we go.
Yeah, no, I do. I'm not a Laker fan right now, and I won't be until he leaves, because he is absolutely exhausting. And it's like a cancer. And now he got AD acting like a girl too, because y'all had a 20-point lead and you come away with it, and you're going to blame the refs after 20 years, 21 years you've been in the league. You blow a 20 point lead, and it's the refs' fault. How sway?
Victor, would you care to answer that? I don't.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell got smacked smooth in his face. It was like, that's marginal. That was marginal contact. So much for that. Okay. I mean,
he got fouled. He got fouled.
But he can't. He'll never win. He'll never win with a the ref did us dirty argument, and that's a hard
not
argument
after blowing have. A 20-point lead.
Right. So, like, I always say, and this is a philosophy of my own, losing double digit leads are due to bad coaching. Because once you have that cushion of 20 points, like, I wasn't even when they got that lead, like, Monday's the night I record my podcast. Once they got that lead, I started watching wrestling. Because I wanted to know who's going to win the women's championship. I was like, we got this one. So I come back, and I'm like, wait a minute. This is single digits? What's happening? And I talked to my guys in the sports podcast chat. They was like, yeah, Lakers was up 20, and Darvin Ham was still double-teaming. Like, why? What are we doing? Let's trade Buckley.
Clearly, they're over him. Yeah, they're over him. Like,
there's a lot, and you're gonna turn this into a sports show if I really delve into the fact that we didn't want to give Tyronn Lue a fifth year offer, and we ended up with Frank Vogel instead of Tyronn Lue, and then Tyronn Lue was like, "Screw y'all, I'm going to the Clippers," and now we got Darvin Ham. You know what I'm saying? The whole conversation could go there, and I don't want to do that, but. Tyronn Lue should be our daggone coach, and we wouldn't have to deal with the majority of this stuff. Like, the fact that we had DeMar DeRozan locked up, and somebody upstairs was like, you know what we should do instead of that? We should get Russell Westbrook and trade everybody for him. That'll do it. He got championship medal.
So what you're saying is what – I guess what I want to ask you is, what spiritual song do you think the Lakers got into on the plane ride?
They've been listening to Chasing After You, because that song don't make no biblical sense. Hey, chasing God. You gotta chase God. God is seated on the I'm chasing after you. God is literally sitting there like, why are you running? I'm right here. You don't have to chase me. I'm not running off. So that's what they're listening to right now, Chasing After You.
I want to say
Vanderbilt is still going to be out. So Rui Hachimura is going to have to guard Nikola Jokic. Change subject, Corey.
I just want to say that I love you both, and that's going to be a constant theme throughout this pod, is me just expressing my love for you two gentlemen. I will say, as a New Yorker, playoff time. Not being a Knicks fan, but being a New Yorker and having the Rangers and the Knicks in the playoffs at the same time. Patrick, is the energy in Chicago similar when you have two sports teams playing in a playoffs at the same time? Like, is not just your typical, Hawks in the playoffs or Bears in the playoffs, but like the whole city, like that you see like two jerseys, whether it's whatever teams are playing, like what's the atmosphere like for you in Chicago? Because I know here it's crazy. It's either blue and orange or red, white, and blue right now.
You know, we haven't really been in a frenzy. We were excited about this WNBA draft, the last draft. I think, you know, Chicago kind of won that draft. And that was exciting. Before that, when Candace Parker, you know, won us a chip or whatever, that was exciting. But the Bears have sucked for decades now. Cubs and Sox. So we've never really had a dual sports team excitement kind of like that. You would have to go back to 98 with the Bulls winning and then Sammy Sosa breaking the home run record, him and Mark McGwire that year. That was that was special to root for the Cubs and for him like that. But yeah, since then, yeah, everybody sucked for the most part.
I being in so I'm part of the crew that hates the fact that New York's sports teams aren't all in the same vicinity. Anywhere else you go, the basketball team, the hockey team, if they have one, the baseball team, the football team, they're pretty much in close proximity of each other. And in New York, you got to go to the Bronx, you got to go to Queens, you got to go to Manhattan, you got to go to Brooklyn. So it's kind of traveling the city and just seeing the sportsmanship and the diehards. While we're on sports for 2 seconds, that night that the Lakers played was the same night the Knicks and Sixers played. And for both games to be as exciting as they were coming down, I don't even want to say the last 2 minutes, the last minute. Both of those games, that doubleheader, that was probably some of the most anxiety-wrenching playoff basketball that I've watched for my team not to be playing. Both games.
It damn near killed Tyrese Maxey. Pulled out four of his dreads. And the refs was like, play on.
But... I want to ask you both, when do you remember the playoffs being this exciting, this intense in the first round in the past couple of years? Because it seems like we got something back, like, and I hate to go like 90s era, but I feel like we got something back in terms of just the intensity of playoff basketball this year. I don't want to say we haven't had it in years past, but I'm talking about the first round.
I think first round playoff basketball is always exciting. I think where it dips is the second round, because like that, I think the Mendoza line is kind of drawn the second round, because like you have 1-8, then, you know, 2-7, 3-6, whatever. So whenever the matchup in between the conference final and the first round, I feel like it's always kind of a dud, the conference semis. But like the first round, there's the excitement of being there for the first timers. There's the people like the Celtics who've been playing just to get to the playoffs, and now they're there. You know, it's a lot going on in the first round. So to me, the first round is always far more exciting with the volume of games too, being that there's games every night, probably up until, at least for the first week, until whoever gets swept. I picked the Magic. That was a bad pick. they're going to be out of here. Paolo Banchero. Yeah, I feel like the first round is always exciting to me because how many games are being played. Kenny and Shaq and Ernie is always on TV up until the weekend. It's like it's lit. I enjoy it.
Now, Patrick, you been ready to say something? I look like you were.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say that I thought like the NBA did a really good job of keeping us interested this season. I think like the midseason tournament, then the play-in, the first round, I mean, it's been interesting and more engaging because putting those things in place makes it more competitive. So some midseason game actually means something and has some playoff implications to it. And in the past, you know, you don't really get those seedings to like you 3/4 of the way into the season. Season's almost over. So I just thought they did a good job. And so, yeah, I think the first round has been exciting for all the reasons Victor says they're exciting because the frenetic, the pace of the games, and then, mm-hmm. you know, they're on every night. So it's like, let's go. What we on tonight, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, the first round is always, you know, announcing, you know, finalists for awards and all that other kind of stuff. I think it's been great.
Speaking of things that have been the first round and mayhem and excitement, hip hop has given us a nice Royal Rumble that nobody predicted on their
page. Come on, Segway.
Come on now, you see me?
That was cool.
We haven't seen this for a very long time. And we have, I don't want to call them the big three because J. Cole let me down. He let Nas down. He let Fayetteville down. He let North Carolina down. He let Patrick down. But Cole, Kendrick, and the man from across the border, Mr. Aubrey Graham. Gentlemen, have you been enjoying this back and forth, this exchange, if you will, between the Titans?
I'm going to let Victor, of course, I'm going to let Victor speak to this. Because when you do, Victor, I need you to explain to me exactly what's happening. Like, I know what's happening, but why is this, like, does everybody hate Drake? I don't understand. This basically seems like what it is to me.
Now, the why of it, I don't get. Like, okay. All I know is that Drake and J. Cole got together, did an album together, and as the kids say, it was for the culture. And they were also going on tour together, which is genius. You do a project together, you tour it, you make the money, and you go home. So they get together, and you know, J. Cole is a gracious dude. He's rapping with Drake, and he refers to himself, Drake, and Kendrick as the big three. Now, Drake was gracious enough to allow him to do so as well. You have to take that into consideration because if he had that big of a problem with Kendrick, he could have been like, nah, bro, take that big three business out. Like, we doing this right now. And he didn't. So, you know, these light-skinned brothers is on the last leg of their tour, minding their business, selling out shows, and then old Mumbling Future and Metro Boomin put out a rap album. Like, yeah, who cares? Blah, blah, this and that. And all of a sudden, the X, aka the Twitter, is a buzz because Kendrick is snapping on the big three. And then I listen to the song, and from what everybody's excitement, I'm like, he really didn't say nothing to them. He just said, F the big three, it's just big me. Nigga bow. And then he said some other stuff, and no, it was cool. I like competition in hip hop. I mean, I'm a bigger battle rap fan. Well, was a bigger battle rap fan than I was a hip hop fan at times, but I like the competition. I just don't understand the why. And then it just started, like you said, it started like this avalanche of just bad songs attacking Drake. So, like, you got Rick Ross has a horrible one. And now Chris Brown is attacking Quavo with all the might of Thor and his hammer. Like, it's a lot. And it's to the point where, you know, Drake, I think Drake appreciates this stuff because, you know, say what you want about him, I think he likes going back and forth with these people, and the fact that he's almost he can almost play victim now because number one, his boy backed out on him. Because I think Cole saw what was coming up and was like, you know, I think I'm gonna bow out of this one. This might get a little ugly. I'm gonna back out of this one or whatever. The tour's over, I'm cool. And then which forces Drake to stick up for himself and then drop the first salvo, which is cool. Then he drops the second one. The AI with Pac and
Hold on.
Okay. All right.
Hold on.
I'll stop.
Three experienced hosts that know the art of dog walking a topic till you get to your mm-hmm. sweet spot. Patrick, you asked why all of this was happening. You have now gotten somewhat of a recap of what's happening. Was your introduction just this Drake record, the one with the AI? Was that, or did you hear all of the?
Yeah, I heard all of the previous. Yeah, I heard the previous stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, my question to you both. This will drop on Friday. Kendrick's going to screw me and probably drop a song Thursday night or Friday, whenever. But I tried to wait to see if he was going to respond. If we're looking at a timeline, almost like the Marvel Universe, George so graciously gave us, Cole calls them the big three. Metro and Future get Kendrick on a song, and he says, nah, F y'all, it's me. Drake responds, and this Canadian is good. He's good.
I'm trying to tell you.
He responds, Rick Ross attacks Drake. So now everybody, don't that really pay attention. He brings us to the Drake record that just came out. Tailor-made. I don't want to do a deep dive on the lyrics, but we can if you guys are so lit. But here's my thing. I will play devil's advocate for Kendrick's sake, and I will say rapping, the argument could be made that Kendrick is the better rapper out of the three. It wouldn't be the correct argument, but the argument could be made that Kendrick's the better rapper.
I think you can make that argument for all three of them.
So, I heard, shout out to Ice. Ice from the Joe Budden Pod said, Drake is the better artist. Cole is the better, like, just actual rapper. And Kendrick is the better star.
I would flop star and artist. I would switch star and artist.
I think Kendrick's the biggest star. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I would. I would
more give mainstream than Drake.
Yeah, I would give Drake the star, and give Kendrick the artist because, you know, Kendrick only jumps out on these salvos when he's on the feature. When he's doing his own albums. He's sitting somewhere like Bob Ross in the room painting a tree with an apron on. And we got to listen to it backwards. Oh my God, did you know that Dan was really, you really got to listen to it backwards to get it. I want to do all of that. Like, just put it in order. Like,
to be fair, he's the only one with a Pulitzer Prize. Not that that matters. And listening to the music sales. That does not matter. But to be fair, he is the only one.
He ain't never hosted the ESPYs. You see?
It's a difference.
And then J. Cole fans like, J. Cole played in NBA Africa. So they all got something. They all got something the other one ain't got.
All right.
Oh, shoot.
Says, I think, okay. I'm not going to act like I know where you guys stand, but like I said, I'm going to play devil's advocate because this is a pod, an audio adventure, and it'd be just wrong for all of us to agree. I'll start the conversation by saying, Patrick, I feel like Kendrick is controlling the tempo of this beef. He put out the Like That verse, and now he's put Cole and Drake on their heels to respond. Cole responds, immediately apologizes, only reinforces Kendrick's claim as, I'm the boogeyman, I told y'all not to say my name. What do you say to that?
I mean, about which part? I mean, about
Kendrick being the one that controls or is dictating the pace of this as the boogeyman.
Again, I think who's manipulating all of this is Drake. Yeah. I think in the bigger universe, you know, Drake is the watcher. You know, he just so, you know, I think Drake is playing chess a little bit. While the rest of them are kind of just making some moves and being impulsive. Look, man, that Drake AI diss. It's savage because of how petty it is. How extremely small of a person you have to be to think to do something like that. That's what makes it art. Like, we can get in the content of it, but the execution of that is just, like, that's ridiculous. So, I think Drake is kind of, you know, watching from a tower somewhere.
So are you not opposed to calling Drake the architect of this whole thing, even though he was allegedly playing defense when it started?
Clearly, there's something about Drake that just annoys a lot of people. I don't know if he does it on purpose or he just exists and be like, we don't like this guy. So, you know, and there may be reasons for that, and maybe not. So, it's all real interesting to me.
Vic Tor, I'm going to ask you a different question.
Okay.
At what point does Kendrick take an L for not responding? Because if I'm Kendrick and my mindset is, I smoked you out,
mm-hmm.
and now you're here, and now you're throwing out all the records, giving me ample time
mm-hmm.
to drop. I hate that I have to say this, but you give me ample time to drop Ether. You give me a whole lot of ammunition to load up that AK,
mm-hmm.
pull my poo-shicey mask down and ride around and just let off the banana clip. What do you say? What's the time frame before Kendrick takes an L for not responding? We are now almost approaching 3 weeks from Drake's initial response.
See, that's the thing. I know Kendrick is going to eventually respond. That's something I'm not worried about. And we want that smoke. We want the competition. We want whatever they saying, whatever is to be rumored, because we've heard that he's had a Drake clip for about 4 years that he's yet to shoot off. I want to hear it. I don't know what would stop him. What would stop him from doing that? Yeah, I just like the I like the banter back and forth. As long as they keep it hip hop, I'm cool with it. And as long as it's good. Like, if you're gonna do it, make it good. Don't push a TME, don't Rick Ross, don't MMG me. I don't want nothing that I would have got if Wendy Williams' show was still in syndication.
What do you
I don't want to find out that he has a child that nobody knows about. I don't want that. I want real rap. I want you to rap.
Okay.
So now I don't want rumors and scandalous innuendos. I don't, all right, for lack of better words, I don't want tea. I want rap. Now get out there and rap. I know Kendrick can do it, and I know it's gonna be good. I know it's gonna be good. So that's all I want. Now my worry is Kendrick will take too long, and our appetite for this battle of some sort is gonna dwindle, and no one's gonna care when it actually comes out. Outside of the Kendrick super fans, it's gonna be like, see, they got him back, and then by then, you know, majority of us have probably already moved on from what this thing is supposed to be.
We're here now. We're going to come back to this, but we're here now. How long did each of you listen to a new album? I'm just curious.
Ooh, that's changed recently. I give it a once over. Say I listen to it and it has to grab me. I ever since I heard this fact/stat, it sticks with me now. It's like, most of us have our favorite song or album by the time we're like 28 years old. So trying to like cling on to or grab on to new music, even from our favorite people, is a little harder at our age as it was opposed to like earlier on. Like, even if somebody I love comes with something new, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Let me go listen to your first album real quick. So, like, I listen to just say, okay, I got through it. Some stuff might grab me. Like, I will say with Kendrick's album, his last new one, the joint that he did with the actress girl, like, that one, that I'm still in awe of that record. The fact that he had an actress sounding like that. I thought she was a real rapper, and I found out that this thing is an actress. So, like, that joint was amazing to me.
God bless her.
Amen. And the white man she married. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
Patrick, how long do you stay with music nowadays? Like when an album comes out?
You know, I think we all have a pretty good ear. So I think we could listen to it once over and know whether or not this is good music or not. And whether we'll come back to it. It's different listening for all the reasons Victor said, but it's also because when we went to Circuit City on Tuesday to get the drops, we had to buy the whole record, like, and it was my money. So I want my money, my $9.99. I'm going to listen to all of this. I am a consumer. I have bought this with my Blockbuster paycheck money, you know, I've been holding on to. So look, you know, we was in it. Nowadays, I think we're quicker because of convenience, because we've listened to so much music. Like, we know if this is overproduced, we know if this is too much this, if it's too much that, if this is a good song or not. So I think we're all open to new music. There's some incredible stuff that I've heard recently that I just connect with. And their voices, right, that I think we connect with. I think we all, like, SZA has a sound. Man, you know, you're such. Yeah, yeah.
I love her,
yeah.
You.
SZA, her, Coco Jones. Look, no. Yeah, I get into some. Yeah, there's some, some stuff out here.
To keep on teasing his new record, man. I need to hear it.
All right.
Not to, because this is a great conversation, but I wanted to link it back to the fact that our appetites now as consumers are, where's the record? 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 We hear the record, and then we're like, oh, all right.
It's flushed. Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep.
And I feel like people have this anticipation for Kendrick to respond. And if it's not, you said you don't want tea, but it's going to have to be something that's going to keep our attention. Yeah, you can rap your behind off. When he did the control verse, he rapped. And the only thing people remember is him saying, basically, yeah, I just, when I get on a track, I want to murder all of y'all.
Yeah, but that wasn't tea. That was rap.
But this is my point. In the space we're in right now as consumers, he's going to have to put something out there that's going to keep our attention outside of just rapping his behind off.
I don't know.
You said you don't want to push a T, but push a T kind of revealed that was a huge secret.
That was a Wendy Williams segment, bro.
But it was a huge secret.
It was Hot Topics on Wendy Williams, bro. This is personal preference. Because I promise you, when that came out from his song, I don't think people listened to the rest of it. You know, it's just, ooh, did you hear that? He killed that nigga. Like, he's still rapping. Y'all don't want to listen to the rest? Like, so that's his personal feeling. That's his personal feeling.
I gotta keep putting my Kendrick devil's advocate hat on. But back to the AI record. Patrick talked about the pettiness, how petty you have to be.
Man.
Can we just talk about the fact that it's cerebral? It's cerebral in that Kendrick did a song where he was talking Tupac, and Drake opens up with Pac talking to Kendrick.
Yeah.
Kendrick was crowned the next by Snoop.
At that concert. Yeah, I seen the footage. I seen it. Kendrick was crying. Bro. He had tears coming down his eyes with all these West Coast legends around him.
The fact that you use that as your approach.
Man.
He
don't like you, bro. He don't like you either.
Nah, that was horrible.
But I think we have to realize too that while they're artists, I feel like they're connoisseurs of the art too. So while they're not fans of each other, they don't like each other, they're listening to everything that each other is doing and paying attention to everything. So I'm ready for whatever, man. Kendrick is gonna, I'm excited but for whatever he's gonna do.
Here's my only going back to your T point. If you don't think Drake has the T on Kendrick and is waiting for him to say something so that he could just go into what he's heard, this is why it's dangerous for Kendrick. The longer he waits. Because Kendrick may have a record that is out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're giving that Canadian assassin more time to craft witty lines for the tea that he has on you, now it's not just I'm putting your business out there. Now I'm putting it on a number one song, and you're gonna hear it in every club and on every radio station. Mm-hmm. It's a planned attack. But I want to speak to you guys about the actual content of the record. Patrick, when Drake says you're probably in a hotel room somewhere, nervous as heck, and you better have a quadruple entendre on it because I'm waiting. Like, I'm trying not to be biased and put on my Canadian cape.
You try hard not to put on a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey.
I'm trying so hard.
Because you were impressed. It's the level of petty that has you most impressed. That's what George, it is.
I George.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would I be called a liar if I said the three people on this call have a level of pettiness that most people wouldn't think to reach to? Would I be lying to reach?
It makes us appreciate stuff like this even more.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I recognize gang. Like,
yeah. Holler at a player when you see him in the street.
Yeah.
I heard it. I was just like, you go, sir. Nah, dog. Like, what? Oh, he messed with me. I'm gonna let Tupac talk to him. Then I'm gonna let his uncle talk to him and talk about the time we put that chain on.
Patrick, what does Kendrick have to do to get your attention back on the other side? Just to, not just for a listen, but to be like, oh, okay, okay.
No, you know, I'm a Kendrick fan. I know more Kendrick music than I know Drake music. And so I'm very much interested, you know, in what he has to say, simply because I think he's a poet, right? I think, you know, he's a lyricist, like, and I think, I don't know, I would call him a battle rapper. You may define that differently, but I think once he gets in it, I think he can do it. And so, yeah, I'm here for all of it. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to for another Kendrick record.
What does he have to do? I'm content-wise, what does he have to do to, as a Kendrick fan, bring you back from the Border Patrol in Canada and be like, yeah, I'm back on the West Coast?
You asking me or Victor?
You. I'm asking you. What does he have to do to bring you back to the West Coast?
I'm good. Like I said, I'm a Kendrick fan. So I don't think Kendrick makes bad records. Bad records? I think some aren't as good as others.
Okay. All right.
In comparison. Okay. But I don't think he makes bad records. So Nick, I'm here for it.
The only thing
I think, hold on, I just feel like we've reached a point where no one in the big three could do anything to sway allegiance to another.
Yeah,
I feel like we all have our favorites within the big three, but we would be as children of the 90s. I know personally, I constantly get on myself for getting caught up in that bull in the 90s and purposely acting like I was a part of Bad Boy Hampton, Virginia chapter, and acting like I couldn't listen to or enjoy West Coast hip hop just because I wasn't even from New York. I was from Connecticut. But since it was next to it, I'm like, I'm more east. If you look at the map, I'm more east than New York. And I wear Tim's too. Yeah, and I'm Jamaican. So, I'm Biggie. That's right. I ain't listening to none of that junk. You know, Patrick, I heard California Love in the truck the other day. And I turned that thing all over.
I get it. Oh.
Man.
Two of America's most wanted. Come on, I lose. Man,
ain't nobody gangsta party. I denied myself those songs. Man. I was like, turn that mess off. we gonna listen to Capone and Noriega in this house.
Can't front on them.
Man. So I just told myself, I'm not doing that again. Yeah, I might have my favorite, but I'm not doing that. That was just some stupid stuff I was doing. I was like, I'm not listening to this. Like, and I see people doing it now. Like, I saw people like, I don't even need to hear that Drake. I'm like, okay. I see myself as an 18-year-old in these people. That's exactly how it was. I don't need to hear hit him up.
Can I
didn't hear that.
How the position pause that as a Hovenger, for you to have a concert called I Declare War, and then you come out with Nas, do you know what that did to me in my mental state?
Messed you up, didn't it?
I wasn't listening to Nas. What? Nas? No, there is war. I'm not going to Queens. You come to the city or Brooklyn, but I am not going to Queens. It's war outside.
Mm-hmm.
For you to call it I Declare War and get on stage with Nas, jack me up. Almost as much as Patrick having to speak for Kanye West inserting himself in as the Midwest representative into this conversation we're having. Patrick, what are you?
That boy said, I got you, Dot. Dot was like, no. That boy stacked on them vocals. I was like, oh, Lord. He go Kanye.
Oh, God. Who in the history has said, yeah, let me get Kanye West in this rap beef to spit a verse? You have to speak to it. You're the only person from Chicago that, by default, you're his spokesperson. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I'm trying to think. I think he's jumped on a couple of, maybe a remix or said something, but like, Kanye, who beef with Kanye beef? What does that look like? So, yeah. How he got mixed up again, it's a very confusing, it's like Marvel right now. Like, yes. It's, everything's all over the place. And you're telling me these things are connected, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I don't see it. So it's just one big mess to me. So I have no idea. I think
for the level of petty, Drake spared Kanye because of Jay Prince the first time. Yeah, let's kumbaya and do a concert. Yeah. But if George, and I know you're going to hate this, but the tea he probably has on Kanye, and now because you giving me, I wasn't even looking your direction, but now that I'm in war mode and you just called me, guess what? You about to find out what Kim Kardashian was doing.
Man.
You about to find out.
All right, so let me clarify my stance on the team. I it's going to be a part of any rap beef or a battle or whatever. You know, left condoms in your baby seat and all that stuff. That's just, that stuff is going to happen. But I just felt, I kind of felt like the delivery of it was kind of weak. So that's why I just felt like he wasn't rapping to rap. He was just rapping to get the info out. Okay. Like how in Rick Ross's song, pretty much raps for 30 seconds and then calls Drake a white boy for 5 minutes and 35 seconds.
White boy?
Yeah, and then like that. I just want to hear these dudes rap, man. And I just rap. So maybe it's the delivery, you know. I think that's where I'm at. So you're right. The tea is needed for these battles to be intensified. So I retract my statement.
I just hate the fact that Chris Brown and Quavo are giving us the performance you were expecting from the actual rap. I didn't say the songs are great. I just said, from the standpoint of this is what we wanted from the others, and the R&B dudes are the ones that's providing the conversation.
Chris Brown got time.
All the time in the world.
Chris Brown needs a therapist. Like, something is emotionally wrong.
That boy put out Healing Energy. That boy, he just put that song out. Just came out. I was like, okay, he might be doing okay. He's like, yeah, man, Take Off died. It should have been you. Jesus.
Like, he's one of them. Like, just sees the line and, like, man, just going to dance over cross.
Literally, dance.
I mean, yeah, dance. Spin his way.
A hard crump. A hard Kirk Franklin crump. All over it.
All over it. Like, the line is there. Hey, don't do it. Just... He had his way right along over that line.
Like, Chris, please, right, man, do not pass that line. You can do whatever you want over here. Boy said, he crumped it. There you go.
Do y'all give Chris Brown at current albums, the 46 track albums, do y'all give those the time of day?
I need a road trip.
I haven't listened to a whole Breezy record in the last two or three records.
Patrick, if you can, if I could sway you to listen to the deluxe 11-11.
You gotta stop that, bro. Because I know I'm missing gems. I know I'm missing gems.
Man, don't listen to the original album, because what they're doing now is they're front loading the original album with 13 new records and calling it deluxe. So listen to 11-11 deluxe, please. Please, okay. I'm asking you both, as musical aficionados, please.
And if you can't get to everything, Patrick, don't daggone residuals.
Man, residuals, and for me, it is delusional.
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check that one out.
Okay. All right, I got it. I'll just download it. So,
but okay. he has a record where he does his very best Michael Jackson. What is the song? Leave Me Alone. He does his very best.
Oh, that's one of my favorites by Mike.
Which one is this? Is this Afterlife? It's called Afterlife.
Okay.
Ooh. Certainly shall listen to that.
I would play it right now, but the Big Brother has been taking my pods and cutting the music sections out. I'm hating on both of you at this
point. Hey, man, God bless, man. Listen, stay focused over here.
Listen, I'm sorry. Did y'all shout out Mr. C on any pod?
Yes, but Mr. C, losing Mr. C for hip hop. I don't know what part of the shout out, because it could go very jokey. I don't know, because I'm ready to go with you if that's where you go.
I'm just saying what he meant to hip hop. That's all. Everybody just got a little freaky deaky, and
just when he could get comfortable, spirit took him. Isn't that something?
We'd be spending the block.
But yes, what he contributed to this.
He said, Moses was striking that rock. You're not going to the promise.
Patrick, this is your fault. This is your fault. You encouraged this. This is your fault.
White,
I blame you.
White still came and tackled OJ at the 1 yard line.
Hospice. Ain't nobody in no hospice. Man. OJ, your finger falling off, man. Man, I'm the juice. Open that door for me, young man.
Yeah.
Man.
You know how disappointed Orenthal had to be when he got to heaven and found out that wasn't no special section? He could find more white women.
Somebody said, we got to worry about protecting Nicole in heaven now. She was fine before, but now we
got to protect her. OJ get to heaven, found out they took all the knives out the kitchen.
Man, like, could somebody help me? Mm-hmm. Orenthal, what you need? First of all, the place is lovely. Let's just start there. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful. Everything is like the ceilings are high. I love this place. Listen, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to cut something. I'm just trying to get something to eat. Mm-hmm. No. There's no nothing mm-hmm. here.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
No. No Orenthal. No.
No.
Hmm. No. Call me OJ. Mm-hmm. No Orenthal. No. There's nothing here.
No. No. No.
Just come not here.
Yeah.
I want
to. The only woman here want to talk to you is your mama. That's the only woman you could be alone with, be left alone with. No. Come over here and sit down.
That boy said, "What you say, Patrick? That boy thought that autograph line was gonna be a little longer when he got there, didn't he?"
Yeah, no.
OJ got an autograph signed in that 12 noon. That line
nobody
up.
Came. Yeah,
by St. Peter House. And the guy there is just like, "Mama, hey, baby."
Oh my God!
I told you it was too cold in Buffalo. With that cold, and you could have lived to 80.
Yeah, oh, Orenthal.
Somebody juice, said, man. On the flip side, Satan probably making him reenact all his role parts from Naked Gun on loop for the rest of eternity.
So, yeah, boy, that boy is doing nothing but Hertz commercials in hell right now. Just jumping
running.
In the words of Greg Johnson, it's hot down here.
Oh my God.
That man. Boy is jumping over everything. You hear me?
Oh man. I want to, before we could, I do want to give you guys.
I rewatched the docuseries on, you know, OJ, the people versus OJ.
Oh no.
Come on, man. Those are great times. You know, life was so much simpler back then, back in about 1994. Come on, man. It was great years.
I skipped the computer class for that verdict. The whole class skipped, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The lady was like, "Where were you yesterday?" It was like, OJ was getting off. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
I was in a class watching, like, everybody had a different class they were in. And when a verdict came out, you just heard this uproar and kids just yelling and running in the halls. And I had no idea what the case was about, but it was like, a nigga got off? Huh?
Yeah.
I remember that afternoon, I was coming home for something from school from Oklahoma. You talking about a nigga walked in Southwest Airlines, put my feet up. All the white folk were so mad. They was tight. They was tight. I had the USA Today, had OJ Wins on it. I flopped that paper.
Just
stunting, you know what I'm saying? That's how bad we needed a win. Oh. You know, we just celebrate OJ. Take a win where we could get it. So yeah, that day I remember that day felt good. Oh, that was up there with Obama getting elected that day. Yeah. Did you, Corey? Did you talk about Megan Thee Stallion's cameraman?
Man,
did you hear that guy?
We can't walk out of here without addressing that.
I think her cameraman is caught up in the Me Too for Men movement, and I think he's just trying to get whatever reparations as a black male.
I think does he have the same representation as Lil Rod in the Diddy case? Lil Rod went from a GoFundMe to try to be a federal witness. All because he ain't get a Grammy. Oh, you ain't get a Grammy.
There's a lot of stuff going on outside. That's all. Y'all just be careful. It's just
that boy said, "I want me a Grammy certificate for them two bells I played on your album, sir." Man.
Patrick, I don't know if you can answer this, but if you were said cameraman, would this even be a case?
You know what? I'm a pretty loyal guy.
Yeah.
you know. Mm-hmm. I believe in fidelity. You know, you do a job.
Mm-hmm. You know, you pay me for a job. That's right.
You pay me for a job. All right. Whatever mm-hmm. else happened, I don't. That ain't on me.
Right.
Humble guy with a camera. That's all.
Yeah. If you're comfortable, I could do my job better.
That's it. Act like I'm not.
I'm not in the room. I'm not in the room.
I'm not even here.
My mom
blind
in the
Stevie Wonder. I can't Man, see nothing.
Can't see
I
a can't thing.
See. I can't see nothing. So that's on you. That ain't on me.
Oh my God. You gonna do a job? Do it right, huh?
That's what, my mama taught me. My daddy taught me.
You go to work, do your job, and then go home.
Yeah, go home. I ain't nothing to do with nothing.
A man that don't work don't eat. Well, in that case,
listen,
he might have had a shot. That's one of them. What they call it when everybody brings food? They tell you not to eat at those
potlucks.
Yeah, that's one of the potlucks you might want to participate in. Mm-hmm. I mean, normally in corporate society, because you don't know how people keep their houses, so you don't want to just eat from everybody. But
can't eat out everywhere. No,
I got a sneaking suspicion she might have a specialty in oxtails or something. You know, yeah, I've seen the still pictures from the weekend of what happened. From the actual weekend, they were on a yacht. You know, several of them. And yeah, man, just do your job, because you know
that's all. That's
as
all.
As long as you listen, if you show up for 90 days, I'm sure there'll be a benefit package of some sort. And you, medicine gonna be $15, $25 in some situations. You know, you can see specialists for $25. No, ambulance is only $100 if you got that insurance. So, you know.
Steve Jobs did not die on the cross.
Nope.
To put a camera on your phone.
Yeah.
For you to do this.
That's right.
He have desecrated the memory of Saint Stephen.
And the guy who gave you.
gave us the iCloud so you can store more pictures. You just
An empty iPhone box is there to prove that Steve Jobs lives.
Yeah.
So, oh my God.
Trying to tell you. He did a great work.
So we praying for Megan. We pray for you.
Oh, she on a prayer list.
Absolutely.
Can't seem to stay out of court.
No, I need to leave. Clearly, Meg is the Drake of
she's female Drake.
Whatever space she's in, because she seems like just to annoy people. Her and Lizzo. And just
George loves Lizzo.
Yeah, man, just love her to death. Because Lizzo be eating. Man, she's done though, right? She's finished, right?
Yeah, y'all happy now? Look what you've done.
No, what I heard was I heard she announced that she was retiring, and no one cared. And she came back. She was like, "I'm just playing, y'all. I'll be back."
People like you bullied her.
I'll be back with a bop and a ballad.
Oh man, I've been trying to end this for y'all for the past 20 minutes, and I am not mad. That it is not.
I'm sorry. It's
no,
me.
Please.
I'm sorry. Please. I've been around. We haven't talked in a long time. So I've been.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I've been holding a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Yeah.
Oh you know. Man.
Oh shoot.
I did want to ask you both. Whew, outside of where the people can find you, Patrick, right quick. Black running back. Give us a rundown. Pod. Synopsis, I know what it is, but for those that may not be familiar, please, Black running back.
Oh, have you all talked about Country Beyonce?
We did. It was rather scathing.
Mm-hmm. What did you say?
I filled the show with as many Beyonce experts as I could, and surprisingly, they ripped the album to shreds to the point where I received several phone calls and texts and messages. Why was not asked to be on the show? I was fine with it. I think she did okay. I just wish it's, I feel like every day I hear a song that I'm like, why shouldn't she have done that song? But then the consensus was, after all the conversation, she should have just went back and got her old songs and remade them in a country fashion.
There are some country versions of some stuff she could pull off.
It was like, that's what she should have did, because the whole, I mean, I'm cool with somebody saying that. Well, actually, I'm not, the whole genre thing don't got me caught up, but when you say it's not a country album, the retort from the Hive was, well, she said it's not a country album, it's a Beyonce album.
Well, George, can we ask Patrick how he feels about country Beyonce? Because I love the list.
I was getting there. I was getting there.
It's pointless.
So how do you feel about country Beyonce, Patrick?
You know, you know, I think it's an issue of, is this art or is this a money grab?
Mm.
Like, I mean, that's a fair question. Right?
It is.
Is she doing it because she can do it? And she and her people and Hov, who is her people, are smart enough to know you could release a country album, be the biggest selling Black country artist, like, in 20, you know, it'll take you 24 hours to do it, right? And that's your place. And, you know, Grammys come along, you know, you can get more Grammys potentially because you're Beyonce. So is this a power move or is this an artistic expression? And it seemed like to me, and I have not listened to all of it. It seems very commercial, very intentional, contrived. And so, yeah, you know, it's a spectacle because it's her, but I mean, they're okay records. They're okay. Right? Like you made mention of, if she would have like redid If I Was a Boy and made it a country record, like, oh, yeah.
Man.
Dangerously in Love, be like, I could see that, right? But, you know, so it was what it was. It's good, you know, but, you know.
I think it's a mixture of both, and I'm not, that was Patrick of Black Runner Black podcast, for all the Hive members that are swarming. I do feel like artistically, she's in this space where we got the dance record, we got the country album. I feel like all the artists now are trying to tap into other markets. And I'm trying to say that as delicately as possible, because
you say all Black artists are.
Look at Drake going into. It's like they're they're following where the curve is going and not
dictating
what the sound should be.
Well, they're following where the money, they think the more money is. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's not act like this is just a cash grab. And that you said, you know, artists are looking to cross over. And I say Black artists are, because white people don't make music for me. White people don't go into the studio and be like, yeah, I want to reach a new Black audience with this. They don't care nothing about me or my dollars.
Yeah.
It's only Black people who have a base, a Black artist who have a base, who always need to go away from us in order to legitimize themselves or to find more money. And I think it's insulting to me.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I think the money part comes in when you're constantly being pitted against, for Beyonce. Now it's been Taylor Swift, and you can see that marketing play from afar. Oh, Taylor Swift has a movie. Beyonce has a movie. Taylor Swift is the highest. Oh, Beyonce is. So you can see that the marketing dollars were geared towards some sort of how do we get Beyonce in the same category as Taylor. And that's not a slight to both of those ladies. Taylor Swift is going to sell some records. Mm-hmm. Every time she comes out, she's going to sell some records. And the conversation is, yeah, Beyonce's selling records, 400, 500, 300 out the gate, but you talking about somebody who's doing a million or better and everything that she touches.
But isn't that, and you all could tell me if I'm wrong, Beyonce only gets one opportunity to be a Beyonce as a teenager or Beyonce in her mid-20s, right? Like, what more is there for you? You're Beyonce. You competing with Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift was you at that age.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, what do you, you can't keep up with that. That is a cycle of time in the industry and pop culture. And Taylor Swift is as much an icon of culture as she is music. She just came at a particular time. And this is what it is. Beyonce had that. You don't get that again. You had your Thriller, and she might have had one or two Thriller records. You don't get to be that again. If that's what you're chasing, if Michael's going to spend the rest of his life chasing Thriller, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
The rest of your life. Like, that was a moment, and you had to let that go. So I just... It's a little annoying. That's all.
But the labels and the people up top that pay the big bucks, when you give me Thriller, now it's not, I can't let you run off into the sunset. You gave me Thriller. Now what else you got? Like, how can we keep this money train going? It may not necessarily be the art. Yeah, George.
I think, like, to get that back for her, she has to get back into just focusing on making good music and stop trying to paint herself into a corner. Like, these last two albums are pretty niche. And, like, I'm praying that the third act of Renaissance is a DC3 reunion, because if it's a DC3 reunion, that opens her back up to actually making R&B music. Like, R&B music, not a Beyonce album. And I fully believe that, you know, I feel like she could sneeze on the album and people would support it. Because a lot of these country songs is not great. If Beyonce decided that I'm gonna go hole up in the studio with Jimmy Jam and Teddy Lewis, Babyface, and I'm gonna give you the album of my life and I'm gonna sing my tail off, it would get supported by everybody. No one's gonna sit back and be like, she got those old guys on her album, I don't want that. No one's gonna do that. Like, it would be supported. And I don't know. Like, I was excited about the country idea because, quick snapple fact, Jamaicans have a special place in their heart for country music. So I was pretty excited. That 16 carriages, Patrick, I couldn't take it. I almost stopped watching the Super Bowl when I got that 16 carriages. I was like, I need to see Patrick Mahomes go to hell. I don't need none of this. And when I pulled them lyrics out on my phone, now I'm like, sing about a daddy? Jesus. I was through. I was like, you can have this Texas Hold'em. I don't care if her titties is out. I need this 16 carriages. Anointed on that song. But anyway.
So, is for real, is this is country music just in the writing and not necessarily anything else? It's just the content that categorizes it as country?
There's a certain feel. There's a certain level of storytelling with country music as well. And they're kind of churchy too. So those things kind of add up where you'll catch up every once in a while. They'll give you a Tennessee whiskey every once in a while. You'll just look, wait. Because them white boys, that Chris Stapleton, the new Chris Stapleton, the supersized Chris Stapleton, what's his name?
Crunchy Roll or something like that?
Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll, there it is.
And there's another one, look like a convict too. Shoot. Like he just got out of jail. It's something like I Lose Control. I think that's the name of the song. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to tell you his name. Because them white boys be singing for their life. They look like they just got out. I ain't going to hold you. So I feel like Teddy Swims. Pull up Teddy Swims, I Lose Control. These white boys are singing for their life. You hear me? They don't hear none of these. They don't hear none of these black niggas singing like that no more. I got a theory about that too. I feel like in these last and evil days, all the background singers is turning into lead singers, and all the good singers are singing background.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel that in my soul. All this humming. Daniel Caesar would have no place in 1997. You hear me? He wouldn't have.
Bryson Tiller wouldn't have made it.
If Bryson Tiller would have tried to come out, imagine Bryson Tiller's CD. We talk about Circuit City. Remember the whole sleeve, but the CD was at the top, and the plastic security thing was at the end. You pull out Joe's debut album and Bryson Tiller.
And look down at a new Dave Hollister record.
Dave Hollister survived Suge Knight to put out music. And you, Bryson Tiller, talk about don't what? I ain't want to sing. I was going to be a rapper. Man, please. These young boys, Daniel Caesar, had DJ and them on his podcast. Argue me down, talking about Justin Timberlake could close a concert with Usher on it. I said, the hell? Justin Timberlake need the Avengers, Wolverine 97, Adam Blackstone, the Hezekiah Walker, and the Love Fellowship Choir. He need a Universal Soul Circus. He need Queen Pen, Teddy Riley, the first Black Street, and that's just for the first half of his show. Justin Timberlake needs all of those forces to come together to make him sound like he has 10% of soul. All Bruno Mars needs a little bump. Listen, once he got that cocaine in him, he's good.
Listen, Bruno Mars, coke and a gambling happened, huh?
Listen.
We all got
back running back.
We all got off there.
Bruno said, listen, give me a bump and I'll put everything on black.
If I lose, the craft table there. Yeah.
Anderson Pockets on his way right now. He'll get y'all a show.
How much you have to black out to run up a casino tab like that and you Bruno Mars?
Man.
Fam.
But they're not bright humans in the world. Just like that Porter kid out of what? Toronto?
Jonte Porter, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't play a game.
As a species, sometimes we don't look very good as a collective.
Oh, black running back.
You think Giveon could have dropped the new album in 1996?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Man.
He ain't want to see. He ain't want to see Tony Thompson in a high five coming. No,
man,
you don't want to see. You ain't trying to see Tony Thompson.
Spirit had to take Tony just so they could get a chance.
Look, a lot of people.
Casey Haley is on the road sticking his part and JoJo part, and Casey is about to be 60.
Yeah,
and he sounds amazing. They give me out a sound like Kermit the Frog, tuned with Melodyne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you.
Yeah, man.
This podcast. I need a show. I need to hurry up. I need a show, Patrick.
I think Spirit gonna come get Bobby Brown on this tour. It don't look like he's gonna make it. It's look like the tour is gonna get gonna take Bobby out. Like I kind of want them to stop. Like,
George, give me a show. Give
Bob is not.
He's in the Robert, biggest residency.
Give me a show.
Just stop. A show movie.
Biggest residency. No, Bobby.
No.
Oh my God. Please. Oh my God. It's a Jaheim trying to come back too.
Jaheim, it's going to be all our fault. It's going to be all our fault. Cause we saw this.
We all ain't nobody who going to Vegas to watch New Edition. You really go? Like,
can you please give me a show?
Man, people go to Vegas for AIM, Stellas, and Don Jackson is not leaving the Stellas to go see Ralph Tresvant. He's not gonna do it. I'm sorry. There might only be 12 people at the Stellas, but they're not going.
Can I please get a show
for movies? There'll be more people at the New Edition concert than all the churches that left Anwar.
Oh, man. All right. So, for my show, I'm going to say the parents. Patrick, give me a show.
Nah, the church Wu-Tang Clan really broke up, and nobody's talking about it. This deck is crazy. They was together during that pandemic when they wasn't supposed to be.
Left and wild like it's Blackstreet.
Man.
Georgia show is girlfriend's. Patrick show is Fraser.
Chelsea Black is ready. Chelsea Black. It's Matthew Stevens in the play. He said, "You'll never sing before I let you go again." That's my song.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Hey, listen, for real. Keep Bobby Brown lifted, yo, because I can't.
Okay.
I'm nervous.
We are killing Bobby. We're doing it. Every time you buy a ticket, you're killing Bobby. Just so you know. Y'all keep doing it. We got footage. What killed Bobby Brown? The people that kept buying tickets.
That even killed, yeah.
Yeah. Hello, beautiful people.
Because he is. Do you see him doing them steps?
Black Running Back Podcast.
Yeah, boy, them dots and them circles and them numbers is killing him. You can't be 50 something singing Dime Out. Man, come on, man. Candy Girl?
No.
Ain't enough Ozempic or Mounjaro to keep him. Like, listen, people, this junk is serious.
For Patrick Schaefer,
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Hold on. Before you do this, wait a minute. Because I don't know. I felt so old when I saw this. Apparently, there's a tour.
Yeah.
And on the tour, there's a concert. There's some footage on YouTube where Hezekiah Walker is leading the people singing "Clean Inside," and Donnie McClurkin, Yolanda, and Marvin Sapp are standing over to the side. When I tell you, you watch that, how old that makes you feel, seeing how old they are now, like senior citizens trying to, you know, rock at the concert. It's like,
man,
we killing them too. Y'all just gonna keep.
Oh my God. Gonna
keep on going. Baby, gonna keep on going. Keep on laying out these hotels on Easter.
That made me sad looking at them. I was like, I just, No spirit tried to John.
You know, they about to do reunion tour part two now. Like, hold up. Yeah. Y'all need to go rest.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm sorry, Corey. I'm going to stop talking.
If I got to see one more IG story of y'all going to y'all concerts, getting to y'all hotel at 4 in the morning, and being at y'all church at 10 a.m., who getting fed off that? Whew. I need to rest.
For V.George Smith, Patrick Schaefer.
What am I watching?
Black quarterback. Hello, beautiful.
And I promise you, this girls tour ain't gonna make it between Kiara and Corinne Hawthorne and all. And this is gonna be a quick tour, but they not.
That's gonna be that tour. I'm gonna rename that tour to the "We Gotta Sing a Hymn" because y'all don't know this song tour.
Yeah.
They gonna start off. We gotta
have church, have testimony service because we don't know any of y'all music.
We gotta then sing my soul. We gotta do that. We gotta video. How great thou art, oh Lord thy God.
Yes, Lord, praise every every service.
Just yes, Lord, on everything.
Yeah. They're not gonna make it.
Because I'm gonna know Corinne. Corinne might sing.
I'm into this room. To be George, to Patrick.
Corinne come out with an AI Twinkie auto-tune.
Hey, you'll know it's AI because Twinkie will actually walk on the organ.
That's what I'm saying. If you just see her
on the organ, if she appears, then it's real. Yeah. If you see her walking, that's AI, bro. That's that POC AI.
Oh my God.
Put Twinkie on a jumbo screen like it's the summertime. Put Denise up.
You make excuses.
Denise home in the living room. Like, what you bitch?
I'm gonna mute my.